Your Monday Night Raw review will get started in just a moment, including my thoughts on Randy Orton beating down once again Matt Hardy and continuing his brilliance, Becky Lynch bringing a bag of money to Monday Night Raw to show that she can pay the fine up front for what she's going to do to Shayna Baszler, Seth Rollins and his group find themselves on the other end of the numbers game. So a lot to cover in this episode. And of course, we'll get it started right after this. This episode is brought to you by the Can of Spam podcast. Sometimes you just need to turn your brain off and indulge in some pure entertainment. Let's stop lying to ourselves. Everyone loves a good poop story or dad joke. Give in to your inhibitions and tune in to the Can of Spam podcast with Nick and Kavika. Much like a talk show, they're often joined by a guest and play through hilarious segments like which superpower is best, lightsaber toenails or tiny booger grenades. Sometimes they examine age-old questions like, do fish have ears? Most episodes end in a comical draft competition. They take turns making selections for their team based on a topic or scenario such as, you're stranded on an island, what four items do you want with you? So guys, go check out the Can of Spam podcast. They're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iHeartRadio. You can also follow them on Twitter at Can of Spam Pod. So if you guys are looking for that last minute gift, check out MidwestHomeGoods.com. They've got everything from furniture to decor, lighting, kitchen and bath, outdoor, fashion, toys, gifts, and a bunch more. They've got sales going on all the time, and it's your place to get high quality home decor, kitchenware, garden accessories, home furnishings, and obviously a lot more. So check out MidwestHomeGoods.com. Again, very reasonably priced. And as we get closer to spring, they've got great outdoor furniture for your patio and, of course, your lawn and garden as well. So check out MidwestHomeGoods.com today.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Because Stone Cold said so.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is Tuesday, February 18th, 2020, and we are creeping closer to WrestleMania. But first, we have a couple of stops. That first one is next Thursday in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia at Super Showdown, as we have a lot of intriguing matches, to be honest. Whether you love the pay-per-view, hate the pay-per-view, you protest the pay-per-view, whatever your political views are on it, the fact of the matter is and remains that this is an important show because it sets up not just Elimination Chamber, but really WrestleMania, whether we like it or not. So Super Showdown is just 9 days away as it stands right now, and I think it's shaping up to be a very noteworthy show. I know a lot of us, including myself at times, downplay this pay-per-view because it seems more nothing more than a spoiled prince in Saudi Arabia using his unlimited bank account and his resources to make fantasy matches happen. And I get it. I understand it. There's a lot of controversy also with the journalist that was sliced and diced up last year, and we understand all of that. But the fact is, this is an important pay-per-view on a lot of levels, and I think I've come to realize that, and I'm blinded by my disdain for what Saudi Arabia stands for and has stood for at times, and the cover-ups and the suppression of women, and we're all supposed to just celebrate, yay, they allowed women to do something publicly and compete in a public forum in 2019, and that's supposed to be something that's celebrated, is downright disgraceful. I'm not saying what WWE did was disgraceful. I'm simply stating the fact that we're supposed to celebrate that it's 2019 and the women are just allowed to be doing this type of form of entertainment in the country of Saudi Arabia. It's more of a reflection on Saudi Arabia's history than it is and continues to be, rather than WWE and what they've done and what they stood for. And they want it to be the face of that change. And I get that. So it's not, I'm not pointing fingers at WWE or Natalya or Lacey Evans, who were competed in that first match. But this is more just kind of a reflection on what Saudi Arabia has traditionally done to women of the country. And we're all supposed to, you know, just kind of breathe it in and understand that, oh, well, WWE is, look what they're doing here. And they allowed women to compete and we're just supposed to stand up and cheer it. You know, like, they, you know, it's the 1960s and women are allowed to vote in the United States. I mean, it's that in and of itself is not, it's not a great thing to celebrate, right? Because it took that effing long to make it happen. That's my issue. But nonetheless, guys, boy, I got political real quick, didn't I? Holy moly. Well, this is the WWE podcast. This is not the, I don't know, whatever political show you listen to. You know, I don't, whatever that may be, your left wing or your conservative, whatever it may be. That is not what this show is about. Although I have been very interested in delving into that potential of my brain of doing a sideshow if I ever find the time to do it. Of political things, and I used to hate it. I used to despise political views, and I didn't understand it. And politics, you just kind of use the blanket statement of, oh, all politics are dirty, right? Every politician's dirty. And it's just something you just kind of shove off because you don't know a damn thing about politics. Well, you know, I think over the last year, I've definitely gotten perspectives on what the heck's going on in society, and maybe I'll share those with you someday. But right now, what I'm going to share with you guys is my view on Monday Night Raw that occurred on February 17th, last night, in, where were they? Where was WWE? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody? Oh, yeah, they were in Washington. No, never mind the city. They were just in Washington. You wouldn't know where in the state of Washington they were, but boy, they certainly made sure that you didn't know what city they were in. By the way, it was Everett, Washington. Apparently, Everett is not a perceived big city, which then would apparently reflect poorly on WWE, who seems to look at themselves through the lens of, we are too big for this city to mention this city on our show that is bigger than what this city represents. That is essentially the small-mindedness of the company. And this is management who is doing this. I get it. This is something small, right? Why am I bitching about a simple non-mention of a city? It's just a microcosm of a larger issue that I think is festering in WWE, is their sense of their ego, right? Their ego of feeling that they are above cities to name them, right? If they think that they're in a city that is not a well-known city or would reflect poorly on the company's image, that they're visiting cities that aren't always NFL towns or capital cities or big markets, that it will then drop the perception of what WWE does and who they're going to visit for shows. And apparently, I think it's disrespectful to the people of that town who spend their money that they earn to go to these shows to then not even be mentioned because WWE is ashamed of where they are located outside of giving you the state. They did the same thing when they went to North Carolina a month ago. I remember Big E coming out and saying, oh, North Carolina. He didn't mention the city. This week, we didn't get a mention of the city. We just got the state. It's just so small of them to do. And I know, oh my God, there he goes on a rant already. But I don't know. Again, it's just a symptom of a larger issue that is just interwoven in the WWE fabric and their thinking and how they think that people perceive them if they mention they're in a town that maybe no one's heard of. Well, I can tell you, I'm not big into geography. I'm not great at geography, but I can't even name probably 5% of the cities that exist in the United States. So if they're going to visit a city that I don't know of, great. Tell me where it is, because then I can also get a geography lesson out of it, right? And instead, they're holier than thou when it comes to cities, especially in the southern states that Vince just has a long history of disliking southern culture and the stereotypes of southern people that he likes to draw on during the shows. He has a habit of that. And Everett Washington, my hats go off to you, and my condolences go off to the folks of Everett, Washington, who are not worthy enough of being mentioned by city from WWE. So how about that for an introduction for a Monday Night Raw? But nonetheless, I have a lot of good stuff to talk about with this show. This is just a continuation of what has been a long-standing, really good run for Monday Night Raw. Been a really good run for Monday Night Raw. Not without its flaws. Certainly not without its flaws. But one that has stood now the test of time of months going on, where it has just been a consistently good to very good show. Once in a while, we get thrown an average show, but very few Raws feel phoned in. It's a refreshing change of pace, and the key here is consistency, and we are certainly getting the consistency when it comes to storylines progressing, pacing of the show, a great roster on Raw, and this continued Monday night. So what are some of the things I liked? Well, for starters, the open of the show. We get Mr. Orton himself, Mr. Slow Motion, coming down to the ring and says again, another half answer, right? He gets another piece of an answer, and Matt Hardy comes out and just says, "Tell us why you did what you did," and then talks about how we were scheduled to be in a no-holds-barred match tonight, a street fight, same thing. And that the doctors haven't cleared him, but he's going to be here anyway. And Randy Orton talks about how, he respects Edge. He loves him like a brother. And he does respect Matt and everything he's done. And we have Randy Orton do what he does. After Matt Hardy went after him with a chair, Randy Orton hits the RKO. And then Randy Orton takes what felt like an eternity to hit the concerto, not once, but twice, on the steel steps. And, well, here's what it sounded like.
Oh, God, no! RKO! Man.
So Randy Orton hits the RKO and then spots the chair in the corner, then proceeds to beat Matt down with that chair, and then act like he's going to get the concerto, feigns that he is thinking better of it, and then grabs the steel steps and, well, take a listen.
Don't do it, Randy. Have some sense. Have some remorse.
And the best thing about this, guys, the best thing about this is not even the segment, which was very good. It was the reaction of some of the fans in the audience. I mean, some of these people were just absolutely distraught. I mean, it was pretty funny to watch. But here, take a listen to the second shot. Here we go. So there we go with Randy Orton. But like I said, the reaction of some of those people, I mean, was priceless. the reaction of some of those the people in the audience who saw someone like instantly cried, like they just saw someone get shot. And it was uncomfortable to watch. Even as a 20-plus year fan watching wrestling, seeing Randy Orton do what he does is, especially at this stage in his career, I mentioned on Twitter, I think he might be doing some of the best work of his career right now. Does it supersede everything he's done? No. I'm not saying this is the absolute best thing he's ever done. But the best thing he's done in the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years? Certainly. And it's awesome to see. And seeing the people explode in tears. One girl, I mean, somebody should freeze frame it, right? Somebody should freeze frame it. It's almost unbelievable, her reaction, but it's a real reaction, right? It's a real, true emotion that she exhibits towards what happened. I mean, that speaks volumes. When is the last time that has happened for anything? I can't remember. Randy Orton is on a tear right now. I love this segment from top to bottom. Randy Orton is a damn genius when it comes to when he wants to turn it on. He knows how to get the people to hate him. I guess the only development storyline-wise that you could draw from this is he is saying how Edge is his brother and how he loves him. Well, he said he loves him like a brother, right? And that's really the only thing you can draw from it. And he respects Edge, and that's it. And we still haven't got a full explanation. Next week will be 4 weeks since it's happened. And we still don't have a full explanation. And I hope they give us one. And we are deserving of one. And if maybe they don't even know what it is. Or maybe the whole point is to get the crowd annoyed that they still don't have an answer. And there really is no answer. We haven't gotten anything. Nothing. But I'm not going to judge that piece of the story until we see the whole story fleshed out. But I do think we are deserving of an actual reason. As far as in the interim, what's been happening with Randy Orton, it's been nothing short of brilliant. His pacing, his cadence, his conflicted voices in his head as his music alludes to, all of it is just damn brilliant. And yes, I hear people saying, that segment was too long. It went on forever. Why did it take so long? Let me tell you why it took so long. You have the hottest angle in the entire company. You want to maximize those minutes. You're not doing another segment in the show. There's no follow-up. This is the only segment in the next chapter of this storyline that you get is at the beginning of the show. So you want a lot of eyeballs on this. And Randy Orton is also a guy that plays perfectly to a slow-paced story because he is the Viper. He's a snake, right? That's what his whole marketing has been, is that he is a snake. So he slithers and he moves slow and it's supposed to be annoying, but it's also a psychological piece of it that you think, what is he going to do next? Is he actually going to walk away? What is going through his head? It builds, and yes, being frustrated at the pacing of this segment is part of it. And part of me does want to say, my God, that went on about 10 minutes too long. They could have cut it. But number one, you got to remember the magnitude of this storyline. It is the biggest storyline WWE has going right now. Number two, they have 3 freaking hours to fill, right? They have 3 hours to fill. Why not stretch it 20 minutes? You've eaten up half of your first hour, and then you have a 2.5 hour show to go, right? So you eat up 20 minutes with your best, hottest angle in a way that makes fans think, but they're getting annoyed, but at the same time wondering what he's going to do, and then have Randy deliver. The only thing I can say about this is not even the pacing, because I was on board for every minute of it, and I loved it. I loved the viciousness. It made me a 20-year veteran of watching this sport. I'm going to call it a sport. You can laugh. I'm going to call it a sport. And even watching it for this long, it still made me cringe because Matt Hardy did a great job of being a corpse. I know that sounds insane and it sounds pretty funny and it sounds easy to do, but Matt Hardy acted like he was dead. And that added a lot of emotion to it. Yes, Randy did what he did, but the reaction, or really lack of a reaction by Matt Hardy of just laying there like a dead fish, was also just brilliant too. He didn't overreact. He didn't, you know, start twitching or whatever. He just acted like he was just knocked out and you don't know if he's alive. The only thing I can say about this segment is if you know Randy Orton is a risk to your talent, as an organization, you have a guy out there that is not even supposed to compete medically. Again, all storyline. And you don't have any security there, but two referees trying to plead with Orton that you know is not going to do anything. It became a little bit of a moment where it took you out of the moment, because if you know Randy Orton is this big of a danger, why is WWE allowing Randy Orton to do what he's going to do, giving people concussions, ending Edge's comeback, potentially ending the livelihood of Matt Hardy? I mean, the fact that they let him go on that long is something that took me a little bit out of the moment, but again, Randy and Matt Hardy took me right back in with their brilliance, especially Randy Orton. I mean, really, I can't give this segment a higher praise. It was just brilliant, and I hope you guys feel the same way. And if you don't, let me know, right? Let me know what you think at the WWE Podcast on Twitter, or email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com, which, by the way, you can send audio files to. All you have to do on your phone, just create a voice memo and then, you know, email it to me. And you can get on the air if you want to ask me a question. I will plug your audio directly into this show and then answer it. Or you can send me a rant or a comment or a suggestion or a just your opinion on a certain segment of the show, of the WWE show, not particularly this podcast. But I would gladly put you on the show and get your feedback. It'd be cool, I think, to have a segment where I can kind of just plug in listeners' thoughts or questions, hear their voice, and stick it into the show. So that is an option for you guys. Just put in the subject line of the email, audio for podcast, and I will know that you want to get your question or your voice on the show, and I'll know you have an audio attachment. Again, try to keep it to a minute or less, and send me an audio file. If you don't know how to do it, again, if you have an Apple phone, you just go to voice memos, create a voice memo, and then hit the share button and share it to email and email it to me. If you have an Android phone, you can do it the same way. I would assume. I don't have Android and I do have Apple, so I'm not really well-versed in the realm and the environment of the Android world, but I would assume they have a voice memo app. It's pretty damn basic. So send me an email at realwwepodcast@gmail.com, or you can do it the old-fashioned way and just type your question or comment to me, and I'll get it on the air. Alrighty. And also, one last plug is, if you want an ad-free experience, head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. So we're going to get to the rest of Raw, including my thoughts on Becky Lynch's response to Shayna Baszler with her bag of money, like it's, you know, 1984, as well as Charlotte's promo on Rhea Ripley. Seth Rollins and his group finally get a little bit of backlash, and a bunch more stuff. So stay right here. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the WWE Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
Check out the Other Worlds Podcast. It's a show about fantasy, science fiction, and uncovering the history and lore of the settings of your favorite stories. The first few episodes are covering the lore and the history of Middle Earth. Again, that podcast is called The Other Worlds, and it's available on Apple Podcasts. I took a listen, and this is a very unique podcast. It's unlike any other. Check out The Other Worlds Podcast, available on Apple Podcasts right now. This episode is brought to you by the Can of Spam Podcast. Sometimes you just need to turn your brain off and indulge in some pure entertainment. Let's stop lying to ourselves. Everyone loves a good poop story or dad joke. Give in to your inhibitions and tune in to the Can of Spam podcast with Nick and Kavika. Much like a talk show, they're often joined by a guest and play through hilarious segments like which superpower is best, lightsaber toenails, or tiny booger grenades. Sometimes they examine age-old questions like, do fish have ears? Most episodes end in a comical draft competition They take turns making selections for their team based on a topic or scenario, such as, you're stranded on an island. What four items do you want with you? So guys, go check out the Can of Spam podcast. They're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iHeartRadio. You can also follow them on Twitter at Can of Spam Pod.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
All right, so let's get into this Becky Lynch segment. And she comes out, right? And she's carrying a brown paper bag to the ring. She talks about how she came to America to seek her fame and fortune. And she didn't know what to do with the fame, but she knew what to do with the fortune. And she opens the brown paper bag and a bunch of $100 bills fall out, as well as a bunch of $1 bills. I don't know. Anybody else notice that? It was a handful of $100 bills, but there was a lot of ones in that. Small detail, but I noticed. She says that to consider the money a down payment for violence, and says that they can take every penny she has because bad things are going to happen when she finds Shayna Baszler. And Lynch tells Shayna to take a look at the pretty face of the longest running WWE women's champion. And that she had to run through Natalya, Asuka, Charlotte, Sasha, Ronda, and mentioned Ronda in a bit of a interesting way, and says that she cut them down because she felt she had to, but she's coming after Shayna because she wants to. Well, okay. This promo was very interesting, and I'll get to Shayna's appearance in just a minute as well. But the first half of this here I want to analyze with you guys. Number one, Becky Lynch has a brown paper bag of money. What? I mean, are we in the, you know, is this a 1920s mob film? Are we using cash? Like, I mean, I understand the perception, right? That she's just taking money and she's using it as a down payment for the violence and the fines that she's going to incur with the violence she's going to bring on Shayna Baszler. Well, what about Randy Orton earlier in the night? Basically ended a man's life. I mean, if you want to take it to that extreme. And you also have Shayna Baszler bitter in the neck and drew blood last week, and we didn't hear about any fines. So, I mean, outside of legitimately killing Shayna Baszler, which we all know death is not something you bring into a wrestling storyline, I get the badassery of that, of just kind of like, take my money, I'm going to get my revenge, I don't care what it costs me. I get it. I understand the logic behind it and the psychology behind it. At the same time, it was a little weird that she brought out cash. I mean, like, seriously, who carries this much cash in 2020? Does anybody carry that much cash? I don't. I barely have $20 in my wallet at all times. So anybody out there looking to rob me, you aren't going to get very much, right? It may buy you a Subway sandwich or something, but you're not going to get far. You're not going to do a whole lot, and I'll have them on my bank cards canceled before you can use them. So nonetheless, we have Becky Lynch out there with her weird paper bag of money, and then says that she ran through the list of names on her resume of people that she's been through and cut down and, oh, I don't know, whatever other forest analogy she wants to use here. And she's coming after Shayna because she wants to? You're saying that she doesn't need to cut them down, go through, doesn't need to go after Shayna just because she wants to? Even after what Shayna did to her? Nah, I just want to. I don't need to. If somebody, like, bit your neck, right, and drew blood, which could cause a number of things, right? Infection. It could sever your spinal cord if bitten hard enough. A litany of things. And you're just going to go after someone, because I want to. I don't need to. Really? I don't know. Not a great choice of words there. And it's just bizarre. So Shayna appears on the Jumbotron saying she's the winner of the Elimination Chamber match because she gets to take on Lynch, and talks about how she was basically born in a cage, and that all signs point to her taking on Lynch at WrestleMania, which, does anybody believe differently? I'd love to hear somebody argue how this could not happen, but Shayna says that she didn't plan to do that last week. She just did it. And she also says, imagine the things I do plan to do to you when it was something that I did that I didn't plan. And look what I did. And she also says, well, the line of the night and the first time that WWE, at least in the last, I can't even tell you, like 20 years, not 20 years, but since the Ruthless Aggression era, the WWE used the S word. And I would say it, but this is a PG show, right? Instead of crap, she said, yeah, that word, right? And it just was shocking. I was driving home from work when I was watching this. Yeah, you heard me correctly. I was driving home from work as I was watching this. Mostly listening. It was like 80% listening, 20% watching at red lights. Okay, I'm not a fool. I'm not driving 55 miles an hour down the highway and watching this, okay? I was watching when I could. And when she said that, I did a double take. I said, wait, what the hell did she say? Did she really say that? They must have gotten clearance from USA Network to say it, because that's pushing on beyond PG. Unless they are redefining the curse words that are usable in a PG TV show. So that was very interesting. Lynch says that Elimination Chamber, thanks for letting me know. I'll be watching closely and rooting for you. And then exits the ring. So Shayna came across big league here. Shayna came across like she belonged. I liked her demeanor. I continue to like Shayna's demeanor against Becky Lynch, who seems very frazzled. I think that her time is probably up as champion. And we've had our run. And if you want to continue to see her and build her as a babyface, you need to have Becky eventually drop the belt, and sooner rather than later, because the fans are going to start to resent her. It's going to get old quick. It's already gotten old for a lot of folks. And for Becky Lynch to face Shayna Baszler at WrestleMania, and my God, let's please pray to whatever God that you pray to, or if you don't, pray to yourself if you're atheist, or whatever, that it is a one-on-one match. I don't need a jumbled Ronda Rousey out of nowhere for a triple threat. I don't need anyone basically photobombing this match. It is one-on-one, damn it. Okay? If Ronda wants to show her face at Mania after the match, so be it. I don't need her in the match. This is a one-on-one. I would love to see a sit-down again with Shayna and Becky, and see where that goes. So, I like this progression on Raw. It wasn't the worst segment in the world. It was just a little bit weird. The execution was weird. Again, I don't know, outside of drug dealers or I don't even know. Who in the world uses paper bags that carry cash still? I mean, seriously, that's what drug deals did. The drug dealers, and maybe they still do it. Maybe, right? I don't think a lot of drug dealers take Apple Pay. So it's probably a small payment method for people in this world. But for her to bring that out, it was like, I mean, why don't you just bring out your rotary phone with you? I mean, seriously, Becky, it was a very dated way to make her point. So, and it also kind of flaunted her arrogance with money, that money's no object to her. When people bust their ass around the world to scrape pennies together, and she's out there as this role model and this figure we're supposed to cheer, and she's just stepping on the money and she's throwing it around as if money doesn't mean anything to me. It's all about my pride. And what's one of the seven deadly sins? Pride, right? That's true. So Becky needs to be very careful here. I don't think it was intentional, but it came across arrogant that she doesn't care about money. And it was just a dated reference and a dated execution. So again, I'm hitting this segment maybe harder than it needs to be hit, but it wasn't the best thing. It progressed the storyline. I'd give it a C. I'd give it a C. It was average. It did the job of getting the heat to build up between these two. And it also further established Shayna Baszler as a heel, because she wasn't in the arena live, right? She was via satellite. And there's nothing more that it will piss off a crowd than when you have a hot baby face ready to fight, and you, after they were attacked the week before, and the the heel doesn't have the balls to show up in person the next week and they're on live via satellite. I mean, that, it's a tried and true formula. So this segment worked from that perspective as well. So again, it wasn't anything too damaging that Becky can't come back from, and some may not even view it as damaging, but it was just awkward and dated. So, all right, well, moving on here to the Monday Night Messiah, Mr. Seth Rollins himself, that has taken a back seat after really getting white hot as a heel with his AOP heavies, and now adding Murphy. It has, just of no fault of his own, taken a back seat to this Edge-Orton storyline that I didn't think could be... I didn't think the Seth Rollins storyline could be eclipsed, at least the way that the current WWE landscape on Raw was shaping up. And then you get Edge's return and everything just goes haywire. And you know, Orton and Edge have now taken front and center. But a close second to me is the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins, who... you know, is doing a great job. I love that they're playing on religious terms and basically using the history of religion as his basis for promos, meaning that he talks about he has his disciples and that he is the savior of Monday Night Raw. He is the Messiah of Monday Night Raw. And that you know, people need to follow him, conform, or they will fall, right? How many times have you heard that from a dictator in the history of the world, right? It is, there's nothing that has sparked more war in the history of the world than religion. I mean, it is far and away, nothing even comes close to the cause of war than religion, beliefs, right? So Seth Rollins playing on that and pulling from history is, I think, a very good thing to do. It's certainly a proven formula throughout the history of the entire world about what religion can do. And yes, he's not preaching about religion, but he has religious tendencies. He calls himself the Messiah, a play on Jesus Christ, who is the believed by Christians to be the Son of God. I mean, and even there was a sign in the crowd of this girl who was holding up a sign, something to the effect of that Seth Rollins is... not my Jesus or something like that. So somebody taking it quite literally, I'm sure, that Seth Rollins is playing a little bit too close to home for this individual, that you know, he's basically playing on what Jesus is believed to be by Christians. So just, again, I think it's a great, great thing to do. Obviously, he's towing kind of a fine line. You don't want to step with both feet into the actual religion end of it. But you can certainly pull dialogue from history and use it and conform it to your promos. And that's exactly what Seth is doing in playing on religion and dictators of the past and using ideologies that really were catalysts for war and genocide and mass religious conformity and just a lot of stuff that Seth is pulling on. And I'm loving it. And I hope it continues to grow. He's got the stained glass logo. A cool shirt. I would love, I mean, I'd wear it, right? The Monday Night Messiah. It's a cool thing. Somebody had a Monday Night Moron sign. I spotted that as well. That was pretty funny. But nonetheless, anyway, let's get to Monday Night Raw. AOP and Murphy were welcomed, and then Murphy stood at the podium, and with AOP standing on either side of him, which, by the way, I miss AOP in suits. It was just more badass. So if AOP could just tweak it back to suits, it was a little bit more intimidating. And I'd like to hear from them again, right? I know that they'll scream in Arabic or you know, their native language, but I would like to hear more from AOP, right? It just, I haven't heard from them in a while. So Rollins gets on stage after he was introduced, which Murphy called him the Monday Night Messiah. I think he missed the M, whatever. So he had, and by the way, I love Rollins's new attire. I know he introduced it last week with his jacket. He looks kind of like Bane from Batman, but I like it. He starts hugging everybody and then thanks everybody, you know, basically glad handing and saying thank you to the crowd for making him the man he is today, and finishing by thanking everyone for making him the Monday Night Messiah. And Rollins continues saying he did not come up with the title sermon. And he pushes on saying that phase one was finished last week and that they're moving on and that the Viking Raiders and Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens have been vanquished. He said now the real work begins and that phase two of the movement will not be easy. And it's to seek out the weak and that they must find the flaws in the system and rehabilitate them if they can and eradicate them if they must. Think about that. You talk about pulling things from a dark period in human history. What's a period in human history over the last 100 years in which there was a dictator who said that it's basically we're trying to seek out the weak, the flaws in the system, aka the people that won't conform, and eradicate them if they must, right? I think it's easy to spot that. It's just, I love what he's doing here. He's towing in the line without crossing it. It's brilliant. So at this point, they go on and on about their mission, and it's about unity and all this, a message of unity, not division. And then we have the Viking Raiders take out all three men as Rollins watches from the top of the ramp. And then Kevin Owens comes out of nowhere and hits a stunner on Rollins. And Owens' music plays. So this eventually leads to yet another tag team match between the I don't even know. This group doesn't have a name, right? It doesn't have a name. But if he said that if Owens and Viking Raiders want to fight, they can have one later tonight. And it was Kevin Owens and the Viking Raiders versus Murphy and the Authors of Pain, right? Which is the same thing I think we've seen on Raw for the last 3 weeks, but we got it again, and it's always a solid match. In this match, it ended by DQ. The winners, though, were Kevin Owens and Viking Raiders, although that's more of nothing more than really a footnote in this match. It was really about how the match ended, because Owen hit a stunner on Murphy, and then went for the pin, but Rollins hit from behind and broke up the pin, which caused the DQ. So as Owens was again getting beaten down and talked about crucifixion, right? This another good look at this. I mean, this is all religious based terminology. It's very, very risky, but it's also effective. I love it. Crucifixion. Eradicating, conformity, unity. I mean, just listen to these words. It's great. I love it. He talks about, again, crucifixion, how Kevin Owens crucified him, and now it's time to crucify you. The Street Profits end up making the save as Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford ran down and attacked the members of AOP. And Rollins hauls out of there and up the ramp and stutters and are plentiful, and we see AOP and Murphy get demolished. Rollins throws a massive tantrum on the stage, and all the babyfaces celebrate in the ring. So it's nice to see Seth Rollins on the other side of this for once. I will say it is also a very good trait to have in a heel faction, with the ringleader of that heel faction getting a case of the limber tail, as Jim Ross would say, and always heading for high ground whenever a fight ensues. And he lets his disciples or minions do the dirty work while he gets out of there and books it. That is it's a great sign of a heel. And that's what Seth has been doing now for weeks and weeks and weeks, is avoiding the confrontation, letting the hard part be put in the hands of his disciples and heading for higher ground as they do all of his bidding. I mean, because it makes you want to see somebody get their hands on Seth Rollins that much more. It's a great psychological strategy. I'm loving that. It's good. And it's nice that Seth ended up, at least in the beginning of, well, the middle of the show, Kevin Owens got a sizable measure of revenge and a stunner, but it looks like a lot more punishments on the way. So just, even with the AOP and Buddy getting beat down, you still have the head of the snake survive. And that's the key. That's the kicker. That's the person you want to see get their ass whooped. And it hasn't happened yet. So while his body got beaten down, per se, the head of the snake still lives. So there's still more to desire there. All right. So moving on to another thing here, and this is probably the last mention that I'll or piece that I'll mention about Monday Night Raw. Well, I mean, well, two things. Drew McIntyre and MVP. I mean, what more do you say about this? It was, I mean, it was exactly the way that you thought it would be. Drew is here on a weekly basis to just kind of pop in and say, hey, don't forget about me, guys. I know Brock's not here, but I need to do something, so don't forget about me. I mean, that's essentially the way it is right now. And he has to work around Brock's schedule that is extremely limited. And they have to make the most out of Drew being there and keeping him fresh in the minds of fans. And him versus MVP, again, I'm fine with the way it was. It needed to be pretty dominant and one-sided in favor of Drew, and it was, and Drew won this match handily. You had Paul Heyman come out, though, before this and talk about how Brock is going to stay champion and does this ladies and gentlemen thing. Heyman said he respected McIntyre and that he knows someone that isn't a huge admirer of McIntyre. And he really was there to introduce MVP, teased that Brock was there ultimately to have Everett Washington, because I'm not ashamed to say the name of the city, boo that and boo Paul Heyman. So the only other thing, again, that I was going to get to was the Queen. We have Charlotte Flair and coming out in a very short skirt. And was announced as the 2020 Women's Royal Rumble match winner and got to the ring, pointed as, you know, that was pointed to the WrestleMania sign as Drew tried to make it a joke and it did not go over well. But that's just what we do. We point to the WrestleMania sign and talk to the video recap was played of Charlotte the night before at NXT TakeOver Portland, attacking Rhea Ripley after her match and accepting her challenge for at WrestleMania for the NXT Women's Championship. I think that was good. And I think it was effective. And I enjoyed this. We had, after the replay, Flair said that she wanted to know who told Ripley that she could come to Monday Night Raw and challenge the Queen, and that Ripley doesn't have to scratch her way to the top and earn respect that NXT now has, right? So Charlotte's basically saying, hey, I built this damn place. I added that value to the belt, and now you're going to try to throw it in my face. It was good. I think this was good. It was baby steps for this program because we still have a lot of TV time to go. I think the money quote here, though, was this, that pride comes at before the fall, and I'm going to humble you at WrestleMania. And this is it right here. Everyone is the next big thing until they're not. So I like that. Effective, well-written, well-rehearsed, and well-executed by Charlotte Flair, who at times can sound fairly robotic on the mic. She sounded at least partially human. And so I think this was, again, this was effective. I'd give this segment a B. I mean, it was just good. It was just averagely good, if that's a thing. And it moved this storyline forward, and it makes you want to see Rhea Ripley, and it makes you want to see Shayna Baszler attack Becky. I mean, you have these, if it wasn't for NXT, man, what would this WrestleMania card look like for the women? Really? I mean, NXT is the true savior here of the women's division. So, overall, guys, I thought it was a good Raw. I really did. And I know I missed some segments in here with Eric Rowan and Aleister Black. Aleister Black, by the way, won. And I know that there was some other things too with R-Truth versus Mojo Rawley and Riddick Moss. But the thing is, if I'm reviewing Monday Night Raw, I don't go segment by segment. Typically there's an occasional time I will, and I know some people hate it and some people love it, but it's whatever comes to mind at the time and the way that my brain works. You know why? 'Cause this is my damn show, right? I call the shots. But that's, I think, the best way to do it is to just rattle things off that come to my brain and let you guys know what I think. Of course, as I'm doing it, I do I'm not stupid. I have a Raw review in front of me, right? I mean, you heard me kind of read some certain segments because I have a Raw recap in front of me. I don't want to miss certain things about the segments I'm talking about. So, anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed this. And if you want more audio like this, well, there are literally, if you guys are fans of Parks and Rec, hundreds of episodes available to you on any podcast platform you can think of. We're quickly approaching 300 episodes on this podcast, so I'm pretty damn proud of that. I want to thank all the co-hosts who make this possible. I feel like I'm giving an Oscar speech. But no, it's true. I do want to thank all the co-hosts and hosts that do shows on their own. This show seriously would not be what it is without those individuals. And this is only upward. And thank you guys for listening. You can also subscribe and rate and review me on Apple Podcasts if you want to help out the show. And I know that many of you have, and thank you. Don't forget, though, if you want your comment in audio form or question or rant on the air, email me a voice memo. You can do it right from your phone and email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Super easy to do. And I'd love to hear your voice and get voices just kind of interjected and sprinkled throughout the show, so it changes the pace up rather than just my voice, whether you love it or hate it. I think it would just be good for the pacing of the show. So I'd love to hear your comment and question or rant or whatever it may be. So guys, thank you so much for joining me. Don't forget, as a schedule reminder, tomorrow I will be joined by a previous co-host. I will leave it at that. And we will probably be discussing the latest product on WWE. I may put Wrestling Nostalgia on hold tomorrow. I'll have to discuss this with my co-host. We may just put that on hold and talk about the current product since there's so much to discuss. And then Thursday and Friday, AEW, NXT. And then, of course, Saturday is your week in review. So don't forget to check that out. Also, guys, check out all the shows that are dropping. I just dropped 3 shows in the last 2 days, right? I had NXT TakeOver Portland being reviewed by Chris. I had Aiden reviewing the WWE product from the perspective of First Blood matches possibly returning, his thoughts on Simone Johnson, The Rock's daughter, as if anyone didn't know that, and some other topics. So check him out as well. He's the newest member of the WWE podcast family. Yeah, I think he does a great job, very listenable, professional, great sound quality. So I would encourage you to check that out as well. It's all in the same feed. It's all on the WWE podcast feed. So, well, with all that said, everyone, thank you so much for listening. As always, I'll catch you next time. So if you guys are looking for that last minute gift, check out MidwestHomeGoods.com. They've got everything from furniture to decor, lighting, kitchen and bath, outdoor, fashion, toys, gifts, and a bunch more. They've got sales going on all the time, and it's your place to get high quality home decor, kitchenware, garden accessories, home furnishings, and obviously a lot more. So check out MidwestHomeGoods.com. Again, very reasonably priced. And as we get closer to spring, they've got great outdoor furniture for your patio and, of course, your lawn and garden as well. So check out MidwestHomeGoods.com today.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app, so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWEpodcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.